City takers are visionaries. What can you see? The clearer you see, the faster the manifestations. There are no impossibilities. We are born of God. We have eternal life. God has spoken. God is speaking. What can you see?
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God forevermore. Okay. If you can, you can go to our landing page, Mark 11, 20 to 24. Today, we're continuing our thoughts. I'll just share some thoughts with us on moving mountains and walking on water. Okay, by faith, and then we'll pray. And things have started happening already. Glory to God. Amen. Are you ready for God's word? Are you ready for God's word? Hallelujah. So, and just to say this by means of introduction, till Jesus returns, we'll keep teaching on faith by precepts and example here and there. Are you with me? We'll keep talking about faith, okay, because it's important. The Lord admonished us to do so, or admonishes us to do so. So here and there, we'll keep talking about faith. This is very important for you. Beyond teachings and series on faith, you should always find time to be intentional about building your faith. Are you here? You see, 100,000 naira is money, but you cannot buy a private jet. Amen. That something we call, I better pass my neighbor jet. International community is a small generator. Nigerian parlance, we call it Habetapas, my neighbor. Hallelujah. How we come up with names in Nigeria is remarkable. Don't you think so? We should be the most blessed people on earth. Don't you think so? Even when they are suffering, they are making jokes with the suffering. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, Habetapas, my neighbor, Jen, cannot power a stadium. Can he power a stadium? But is there some power or not? There is some power. The same thing, there is such a thing as building your faith to match the call of God on your life. Building your faith to match the vision of God for your life. Very important. And you see, I'm a helper of your faith. Glory to God. I'm a helper of your faith. Hallelujah. So you don't need to be at 10K level, at 100K level, glory to God, of faith. I'm a helper of your faith. The good news is your faith can grow exceedingly. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3. Paul was telling them that, look, we thank God for you always. It's not something we even think about. It's something we have decided to do. Because your faith groweth exceedingly. Are you with me? Your faith groweth exceedingly. The Tippity says your faith is growing marvelously beyond measure. That means a believer's faith can grow. Glory to God. The problem is not the weight the person is trying to lift. The problem is the muscle. Glory to God. There are those who lift 1,000 kilogram of weight. And there are those who struggle to lift 20 kilogram. The beautiful thing is, nobody was born with extra muscles. We all have the same muscle, but not the same muscle mass. That means it's the same muscles developed over time. Hallelujah. And that means you can develop the muscles of your faith. Your faith can grow exceedingly. Your faith can grow marvelously beyond measure. Glory to God forevermore. All right, so we began teaching on moving mountains and walking on water. I'll just do a very brief recap. Moving mountains and walking on water. Moving mountains and walking on water. I mean, that should make you shout. Glory to God. And I'm not even talking about shouting here. It's good you shouted. Moving mountains and walking on water. We began by saying that, look, it is our design to walk on water. We were designed as new creation. We're designed as believers to walk on water and move mountains. And what that means is no other life will satisfy you outside the supernatural life. I've seen Christians here and they try to create a natural path for themselves. But when you ask them very deeply, and when they think very deeply, you will know something is missing. Because you are not designed. It's like a fish trying to live on land. It doesn't work that way. The natural habitat of the fish is in the water. The genus of the fish comes out when you drop that fish in water. Are you with me? In the same vein, your genus comes forth when you agree to walk in the supernatural. When you agree to your design for the supernatural life. So as believers, we are designed for the supernatural life. That means when things are going in the natural realm, I like to use the bird as an example. You see, a flying dove, for example, has the ability to walk on the earth, but also has the ability to fly in the air. That means we have the design to live in two realms. Well, it's okay. There are things that naturally you can get done. But see, you are not limited to natural metrics alone. That's what I'm saying. So like that dove, when he's walking on the ground, I'm sure they must have played around your window before. When he's walking on the ground and he senses a threat in that realm, it takes off. It's the same thing for the believer. You are trying to do things the best way possible and you notice a threat in the natural realm. Know how to switch to the supernatural. Glory to God. That means when you are traveling, your tires should be okay. Amen. Your brake pads should be okay. Your car should be in shape. That is good judgment. That's natural. But there are times Satan can come for a person with every natural thing in place. What I'm saying is you are not subject to those natural harassments. Why? You have an advantage. So by design, we are made to move mountains and walk on water. To the impossible. This is our natural habitat. By design. Do you know who designed us? El Elyon. Oh, glory to God. A supernatural God made a supernatural being. That being has to be supernatural. Glory to God. So the second thing we say, by purpose, we are to walk in the supernatural. We are to move mountain and walk on water. Listen, Christianity is not just do's and don'ts. The Christianity is partnering with God to do the impossible. So that the people on the earth can see that truly there is a God. Listen, our mission is to disciple our generation, is to make them know what Christ has done. I can't go into the exegesis of that. If you've been around for CityCast conference, you must have heard things in that light. But the point is, every believer has a mandate. Every believer has a calling. Every believer has an assignment. An assignment is to make him known. Oh, Paul says, when he pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, to reveal his son in me. To reveal his son in me, I confirm no longer with flesh and blood. That means there is a destiny upon your life for Christ to be revealed in you. You see, he may not be revealed in you on the pulpit like this. It may just be a few persons. Are you with me? But in that business, Christ is to be revealed. For somebody to be revealed to superior intelligence. Hallelujah. It to be revealed through superior skill in carrying out a particular trade, in carrying out a particular business. But my point is, there must always be a supernatural edge to the adventure of the believer on the earth, so that men may see your good works, so that men may see your light and give glory to your Father, which is where? Which is in heaven. So by purpose, we are to be water walkers and mountain movers. So our lives will become living testimonies of a supernatural God. Living testimonies of a God that can suspend natural laws to get things done. Watch this. When the Queen of Sheba came to Israel and saw what Solomon did to his wisdom, what did she do? She worshipped the God of Solomon. Do you remember Nebuchadnezzar? That one was not converted by roadside evangelism. He wasn't converted by church service, but by superiority of manifestation. Glory to God. And that is the life of the believer. Yahweh Adonai became the God to be reverenced in the land of Babylon, in the entire empire. The king made a decree, no God is God but the God of Daniel. Oh, I wish the government of nations can make a decree. Your CEO can make a decree in that office, in that city, that there is no God but the God of Jessica. No God but the God of James. Are you with me? So my point is, it won't happen by itself. There has to be superiority of manifestations. And that possibility, all those possibilities are affordable to you because you're a believer. He begins by being taught. And he continues with paying attention to the little things. That look, there's a supernatural edge to my life as a believer. Oh yes, there is. If I want to get a job, and they say, well, this is the last list. They are not bringing any other list. I can't just fold my hand in defeat and go. No, except God says to let it go. I have supernatural advantage. I can take them to the court of heaven.
Oh.
I can make my case in prayer. Oh, glory to God. Oh, you've not seen it. This is our life. We give people admission without jam. Amen. We give people jobs without interviews. Glory to God. Why? We're supernatural. So make up your mind to think this is that, look, I'm a mountain mover. I'm a water walker. Why? I'm a believer. And in that is my Father glorified. So when you are making up your dream, or right now your goals, not dreams now, your goals for the year, you look at it again. Are these things you can do by your human effort? Are these things you can do by your human calculation, human energy? Are these things you can do within the confines of the resources available to you naturally? All these things you have written, you have to outsource it to spirit realm to make them done. The B part is where you should be located. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So for our purpose, we walk on water. We move mountains. We move mountains. And there's something I want to remind you about again. That is right in Matthew's and Matthew's gospel. The second scripture we read, chapter 14. We read 22 to 24 to 33. Right? When Peter told Jesus, he says, if it's you, master, let me come. That place where Jesus was walking on water. You remember the two scriptures we've been reading now? Where Jesus was walking on water. You see, that thought had never left me. One of the speakers during TTC also talked about it. Amen. I mean, God opened my eyes to see it, and I knew it was the word for me and the word for the house. Peter said, Jesus, master, if it is you, tell me to come. And the master said, come. And he began to walk on water on the word of God. That means what was carrying his feet was the word that God has spoken. This is why you must value every word from the mouth of the Lord this January. Why? With these words, you walk on water. Hallelujah. But that's not even where I'm going. The Bible says Peter stepped out of the boat and began to walk on water. He began to walk on water. He began to do the impossible. And then for some reasons, he began to sink. Here's the point. And it's natural when we teach faith, when people are pumped by the Spirit of God and they are seeing what they could do. Most times people ask, what if I do this thing and fail? Has it ever happened to you? Lord, you are saying move to the tent. What? What if this happens? Lord, you are saying I should raise 10 million to inject into this business. What if the money doesn't come out? Lord, you are saying I should take a loan of 50 million and complete this project. What if I sink? Our minds ask those questions. And for me, I believe very strongly, one of the reasons God allowed that scenario to happen is to bring us into understanding that while we step out to walk on water, even if we begin to sink, the Lord is there and we can call upon him. So that takes away every excuse. Lord, as you start the first year of this program, it's $5,000. You do know how much that is in Naira? You think God does not know? What if I can't pay for the second year? Leave that to God. If you ever sink, there's a God to call upon. I wish that blessed somebody. You are not acting like you are blessed by that. I wish that blessed somebody. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then last, we got into talking about responding to God. Faith is revelation. Okay, we talked about faith is revelation of the omnipotence of God. Okay? Revelation of the importance of God. Revelation of the fatherhood of God. Revelation of the finished works of Jesus. And then we said, two, faith is response. Okay? Response to God. Responding to his word. Responding to the instruction from the mouth of your spiritual leader. And we give scriptures to back that up. Praise God. Responding to the leading of the Spirit. So in these three things is your safety, your prosperity, your increase. Listen, there are people who say, but the Bible says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Now, in light, I'm talking about the leading of the Spirit now. They want to travel and they have this nudging in their heart. Don't travel. Don't travel. Now, sometimes the nudgings could be yellow light. Yellow light means travel, but be careful. Okay? That's yellow now. The red light means don't go. Green light means it's all jolly, jolly, jolly. He can go. Now, sometimes you may have a red light, a yellow light, and then you hear people because they are not taught about the dynamics of faith and the dynamics of the leading of the Spirit. You hear them say things like, but God said, you protect me everywhere I go. I need to go to Abuja today. I need to go to Lagos today. No, 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 no. You see, the written word instruction from the anointed, that's from your pastor or your spiritual authority over your life, and the leading of the Spirit walk together. Are you with me? They walk together. They walk together. That means at that time, T, what the Spirit of God is telling you to do, that is the word of the Lord to you. And it may not come as audible voice. Okay? It may come as nudgings. It may come as impressions. Praise God. And to act on them, you can weigh them anyway. Glory to God forevermore. Are you with me? So when he says, don't move, you don't move. You don't move. I think, was it Jerry Seville or Jesse Duplantis came one day and said, he came to the airport and told them, by those nudgings, this plane is going to crash. I'm not joining it. And then, you know, people be like, what are you talking about? Who are you? From where? What knowledge? You know the people of the world. And then all that, before they boarded, people went ahead to board. Only for the maintenance engineer also to come and say, well, this plane cannot move now. They just figured out something is wrong. If this plane takes off, it will crash. Move everybody out. People were returning with fear. People who were around when he said, he started looking for him to be associated with him. But how did he know? Inside information. The leading of the Spirit. Glory to God. And in that is our prosperity. A miracle. What has God said? There are things you already know. Written down. Act on the word. I dwelt on that last week. Act on the word. Okay? Act on the word. Alright, so today I'll just share briefly on the vision and the voice of faith. The vision and the voice of mountain moving faith. Glory. The vision and the voice of faith. Now, this is about what you see and what you say. If you are around during the conference, the evening sessions, I said that sight and sound is your major leverage on the earth. Major leverage on the earth. Why? Because these two things have very profound and significant impact on the spirit realm and the physical realm. In Genesis, when God was recruiting the whole world, we see the two things playing together, sight and sound. Are you with me? So accurate sight and sound is secret of moving mountain. Glory to God. And if you know anything about the subject of faith, you know it has a lot to do with what you see and a lot to do with what you say. I say that again. Faith has a lot to do with what you see and a lot to do with what you say. Unfortunately, these are the two areas where many believers are defeated today. Are you with me? So I need you to pay attention. Many believers are defeated in the area of vision and in the area of voicing. By the time you analyze and do, I say post-mortem analysis of forensic analysis of anybody who failed. Now, why do I say forensic analysis? Because if a man or woman is still alive, there's hope. Hallelujah. So let's assume somebody passes on. Their lives do not amount to anything. If you can trace and do a forensic analysis of why they failed, we'll break it down to two basic things. What were they seeing and what were they saying? We'll break it down into the sight and sound. What was going on in their mind and all the dynamics around it. What was going on in their minds and what was responsible for the pictures they had consistently on their mind. And then you examine what were they saying. Because once we trace a man's words and conversation, we can trace the direction of their lives. Are you with me? So the visions and the voice of faith. The visions and the voice of faith. Interestingly, your heart has been programmed to produce for you what it has experienced. Watch this. Is that not a paradox? How can your heart produce for you what it has experienced? So what if it has not experienced it? What will it produce? This is where vision comes in. Because of the fall of man, what man saw consistently was defeat, rebellion, failure. Are you with me? Until Jesus showed up on the scene. Until God began to cut covenant with men in the earth realm. Because you can ask yourself, if my heart is a reality, psychology books will tell you that, neurolinguistics books will tell you that look, people can only reproduce what they have experienced. That's remarkable. People can only produce what they have experienced. So God has a system to cause you to experience things in your heart so you can reproduce them. Oh, are you with me? Now, this is why we say those who are rich will keep being rich and will keep propagating the wealth from generation to generation. It's not because of the physical fiat currency. The problem is in that vision, or the advantage rather is in that vision. So a proper rich kid who was taught the rudiment, who got the right pictures growing up, when they go to a place, because of that picture, they have the ability to magnetize what they didn't have physically. And then if you carry the poor guy who saw the wrong pictures over time, you can make him the chairman of the central bank. You run it down and go back to his village. Are you with me? Why? Your heart is programmed to produce for you what it has experienced. What it has experienced. This is what we see, that God, and we're going to use Abraham as a case study. We see that God did everything he could do to get Abraham to see the dream and the vision he was selling to him. Oh God. He did everything. He will come and say, Abraham, lift your eyes from where you are. Look northward, look eastward, look southward, look westward. As far as your eyes can see, that I have given unto you. He'll come unto Abraham and say, I will bless you and your seed, and you will be a blessing. Out of you shall come forth kings and rulers of the earth. And then you get to chapter 15. And Abraham made an utterance that betrayed his convictions. God appeared to him after his encounter with the king of Sodom and Melchizedek. And says, fear not, I am your shield. I am your exceeding great reward. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I am your shield. I am your exceeding great reward. I am your shield. I am your exceeding great reward. Somebody say, well, that was said to Abraham. No, this is God talking to you. He says, fear not. I am your shield. I am your exceeding great reward. I am your compensation. That's what he's saying. I am your compensation. A translation I heard says, I am your compensation and your rapidly increasing money supply. Oh, glory to God. That means we can live according to God's pockets. That means that vision, God will sponsor it. Oh, the sender will sponsor it. I'll never forget where I was in 2011 before church started. Early 2012, I was on the bike going to the hospital. I was working in the hospital. And God spoke to me, I'm your caller, I'm your sender, I'm your sponsor, and I'm your rapidly increasing money supply. And he has proved it over the years. I came to Jos with nothing physical but my books, my few clothes, and 15,000 naira. But see what the Lord has done. Are you here? So that is not just for preachers. A business person, a career person can say, Kai, I began the year squatting with nothing physical, but my books, 10,000 naira or five, whatever the case may be, 20,000, I don't care what it is. And then at the end of the year, just like Jacob, you can say, but now I have become two bands. Oh, glory to God. This was what God was saying to Abraham. I am your shield. I am your source. I am your source. No man is your source. No government is your source. No family is your source. Your husband is not your source. Your wife is not your source. Your children are not your source. Are you with me? Your big sis is not your source. Your big bro is not your source. Yahweh, El Elyon, El Shaddai, Adonai is your source. He's your source. And that is a major lesson you must learn as we are beginning the year. You see, when you know that God is your source, it will affect your attitude. It will affect your operations. It will affect, truly, it will affect your attitude. I can't tell you how many things I've done. I'll step out today and I'll say, the money will meet me on the way. You can't do that if you don't know that Adonai is your source. You know Adonai. Adonai means the Lord. The Lord means he owns it. If I tell you this story, you won't believe. There was a day I was to be in Lagos. I said, I'm not going by road. Years ago, packed my bag. I was going to the airport. I said, money will meet me on the way. And money met me on the way. Is that normal? Oh, glory to God. That was what Abraham saw. That was what he felt. That was what he knew. So he told the king of Sodom, he says, look, I will not take anything from this poor, not even to the shoe latchet, lest you say I have made Abraham rich. For I've lifted up my hands to Jehovah, possessor of the heavens and the earth. So after all the drama, the picture I'm trying to paint for you is the reality of God always trying to interrupt our pictures, always trying to clarify our vision. Are you with me? And that is what it takes to do the impossible. So you see Abraham, after such statements, say, Lord, what will you do for me, seeing that I go childless? He loved God, but could not believe in the idea that God was selling to him. Are you with me? And just a little digression. Hope you know, at this point, Abraham was not looking for money. That means the matters of destiny are bigger than being comfortable financially. That's what I've been trying to tell you for years. In chapter 13, Abraham was already extremely rich. The Bible says he was rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. You remember that? Genesis chapter 13. So he wasn't looking for money here. But see, these were discussions around destiny. And modern day believer, I like to bring our minds to that. That the matters of your destiny are deeper than financial comfort. Africa, probably because of the poverty that we are coming out of, we have limited the power of God to just financial and material comfort. And that is low level of living. Now, don't get me wrong. In this service, there will be miracle monies. Amen. There will be financial miracles. Glory to God. And you should receive them. God is interested in ministering to that. But beyond that, we have to be intelligent enough to know that what God is set to do with us, the discussion is beyond financial convenience, financial comfort, material comfort. I have some houses, I have some cars, I'm good, God is doing me well. No, destiny. And God said to Abraham early enough to make us know that, look, this conversation is beyond financial comfort. It was about dominion. It was about being a blessing. It was about having enduring relevance. Are you with me? Enduring relevance. And Abraham began to complain. And God again had to do something about this vision. I'm going somewhere. Do something about his vision. You can put Genesis 15 up there for me. He had to do something about his vision. He complained in verse 2 and in verse 2 and verse 3, Genesis 15. He said, Lord, what will you give to me saying I go childless? All right. Listen, what was God's response? Vision. I'm going. What was God's response to Abraham's complaint? Or complaint, vision. Hear this. Every time you are complaining, it's because you cannot see what God has done and what God is doing. You can write it somewhere. You can write it somewhere. Every time you complain, it's because you can't see what God has done and what God is doing. So it's just a manifestation of what you can't see. So God's response was vision. Oh, he said, Abraham, come out, look toward heaven. Look toward heaven. Look toward heaven. Question, was God at that time just trying to do something about Abraham's future? No. He had settled Abraham's future before the foundations of the earth. Are you with me? So God is not trying to do something for you and you. No. The Bible says the works were finished before the foundations of the earth. But what he wants to do is to make you see. Because what you see, you become. What you see, you gravitate towards. What you see, you reproduce. Are you with me? So what was God's response? Upgrading Abraham's vision. Upgrading Abraham's vision. Lord, I've been serving you for many years now. Now I'm 35. Nobody has toasted me. Are you really faithful? You are not seeing what he has done. You are not seeing what he's doing. Is somebody catching this? Is a lack of vision. And God's response is vision. Is vision. So he took Abraham out. And that takes me to the next thing. But the first layer of God's vision, he wants you to see what he has done. He wants you to see what he has done. He took Abraham out. He says, Abi, look to the sky. Tell me the story of the stars. If you can count the stars, if you can tell, the Hebrew word means to tell a story. Are you with me? If you can tell the story of the stars, so shall your seed be. And the Bible says, Abraham believed God. That means what God was trying to show him, he saw it. Oh, he saw it in a measure. He believed God. And that believing was real because the Bible says God credited it to his account for righteousness. He believed God. What did he see? He saw the Christ. He saw redemption. Oh, hallelujah. He saw the provisions of redemption. He saw God's provision of victory to his seed. That's what he saw. Remember in Galatians chapter 3 verse 8, the Bible says God preached the gospel to Abraham. God preached the gospel to Abraham. God preached the gospel to Abraham saying, in you, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. So it was the gospel God preached to him when he looked into the sky. Amen. I've done this exegesis before. Praise God. But Abraham was not counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. No. When you put the global context of scripture together, hope you know that all of scripture testify of Christ. John chapter 5 verse 39. He says, you read the scriptures thinking that in them you'll find eternal life. He says, they are they which testify of me. TPT says, everything you read points to me. So, what did Abraham see in the sky? It was Christ he saw. Remember that Abraham was from all of the Chaldees. There were astrologers. There were star readers. Remember in Hebrews 1, the Bible says, God at sundry time in diverse manners spoke to our fathers. That means in different dispensations, God used the language they could understand to speak to them. And he used the story of the stars to paint the picture of his seed. Oh, glory to God. No wonder Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced when he saw my day. He was talking about Genesis 15. He says, Abraham rejoiced when he saw my day. Ah, that means Abraham saw the Christ. Oh, glory to God. He rejoiced when he saw my day. Oh, Moses saw the Christ when he dropped the rod and it became serpent. And he took it up again and it became the rod. And God told him, with this rod, go and do signs. That was the Christ. Christ was made sin, raised in power. He saw Christ. He saw Christ. That is the first vision. We can't overemphasize this. I told you, make up your mind to be schooled in this covenant. Oh, you see clearly. Hallelujah. That was the first vision in Genesis. The first thing God to adjust his picture. He saw the Christ and he believed. Oh, glory to God. He saw the Christ and he believed. The second was the blood covenant to adjust his picture. Oh, and the writer of Hebrews tells us that verily do men swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Is therefore God also willing more abundantly to show to the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel. He confirmed it by an oath. For by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. That was the second thing God did. Cutting the blood covenant. Again, that was God entering into Abraham's context. I told you last year. Oh, hallelujah. But what was he doing? He was trying to paint a picture that, look, Abraham, there's something I have done that you can rely on and fulfill your destiny. That's the vision of faith. Our faith is not self-will. Last week I told you about the context, how that faith works with co-perception with the Spirit. Faith has a context. Glory to God. Our faith is not self-willed. Our faith is based on something he has done. Did you ever read from your Bible that you have a blood that speaks for you? That you have a high priest that is passed into the heaven? Imagine, you have, quote and unquote, Nigerian parlance, you have a babalawo in a shrine making things on your behalf. The Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Oh, hallelujah. I wish you would see that. Once you see that, nobody can intimidate you. You will tell them their charm men are on earth. Yours is in heaven. One of the things I hate is intimidation. Anybody that wants to die fast should intimidate me. God knows that one vexes me. I naturally hate oppression and I hate intimidation. How did somebody, you know, people say, somebody say, you will see what I will do to you. And I can't understand. They will see what you can do. And that somebody probably talking based on his jazz, you know what they call jazz, charm. You see what I'll do to you. That's the fastest way to pray to die. Fastest way. Why am I confident? There's something I've seen. You are charmed. What I mean is, you operate at a higher level of charm than the earthlings. Do you believe this? When God was done with that blood covenant, Abraham believed. If I from the first vision, he believed. This was what he saw. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. So what are we saying? We're saying that faith sees very clearly the provisions of God through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Faith sees very clearly. It means your sins are forgiven because of his sacrifice. It means Satan cannot trap you in inferiority, condemnation, and guilt anymore. Are you with me? It means your sicknesses have been taken because of what he did. It means poverty has been taken because of what he did. It means your victory over Satan is guaranteed in his sacrifice. It means fear is taken away. It means the power of death broken over your life. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. It means your access to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace is guaranteed. We have access. I love the expression to find. That means, what are you looking for? You want grace to grow your business, is available. And you have access. This was what Jesus meant. He says, nothing shall be impossible to him who believes. Believes in what? Believes in what I'm sharing with you. Believes in the gospel. Believes in the sacrifice of Jesus. He says, nothing shall be impossible to that person. They can't trap you. Where can they keep you? What predicament can you enter into and you can't come out? It's not possible. It's not possible. Hallelujah. So the vision of faith is the word. Of course, the word means the possibilities documented in scriptures because of what the Father has done in Christ Jesus. So what do you see now? You see those, I see Romans 8:2. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the spirit. This is what I see. This is what you should see now. Are you with me? That's the vision of your faith. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. See, this is a picture he's painting. He's comparing the law of gravity to the law of lift. Are you with me? That means everybody is on the ground because of the oppression of the law of sin and death. But there are these people who have created a system to go against gravity. Are you with me? That means as everybody is trapped on the ground, we have another law at work within us. And why? Because of what Jesus did. The playing ground is no longer leveled. It's not leveled. That means you can break human predictions all the time. Men will see you and size you up. Kai, which primary school did you go to? Bono primary school. Which secondary school did you go to? Lege secondary school. Which village are you from? It's not on the map. That's okay. With that, with this evidence, this is where you should stop. Which university, what class of degree did you have? What course did you read? Which school did you go to? You mentioned your university, they say it's not on the map. When they are rating World University, he's number 5,055. And God is showing you vision that you would talk to professors in Harvard. So what we're saying is we have a system. We have what we see that takes us beyond the capping of human matrix. I wish I was talking to someone. This is why a believer cannot summarize his life by adding up this, his background, his experiences, blah, 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 blah. No. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. This is the vision. I'm talking about the vision of faith. The vision of faith. This is why you are pumped. They say, what makes you think you can do this? Why? You are seeing something. Oh, you are seeing that the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. There's something you are seeing. You have seen that you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. He says, you are of God. Ah! You are of God. You are of God. Amekopata. That defines your roots. You are of God. You came out of him. You came out of him. The Greek word is ek. It means to come out of. Your genealogy is short. So you can say, I'm no longer from Otukpo. I'm no longer from Otukpa. I'm no longer from Ogbomosho. Are you with me? That's in the flesh. Glory to God. And listen, when you live in this arena, generational curses cannot trace you. I wish you heard me. Is this anti-patriotic? No. It means comparing spiritual with spiritual. Oh, I know I'm preaching good. ear of God. So, what's your vision? The Bible says, he that is from above is above all. What is all? Oh. What is all? All means all. He says, he that is from above is above all. Sickness, you are above. Confusion, you are above. The political system, operational in our ecosystem, you are above. The economic system, you are above. That doctor's diagnosis, you are above. You are above. This is the vision of faith. This is what you put before you day in and day out. Listen, without that, there is enough information in this world to drown you year in, year out. You can write it down. This is why it pains me when Christian comes to church and they are not paying attention to the word. Oh, I know they are not serious. Because how else do you want to fly? How else? Watching CNN, watching channels, watching ZWorld, are you with me? Playing video games. Follow using your certificate, depending on your father's wealth. No. You get to the point where the only thing you know is God's word. Oh, this vision of faith. This vision of faith. He said, look toward heaven. Look toward heaven. This vision of faith. Here's what I see. The Bible says, cry, death is abolished. It says, by the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, who has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 1, you can read 9 to 10. Visions of faith. That means you can't trace death in my business. You can't trace death in my body. You can't trace death in my home. Are you with me? The visions of it. What do you see? Why did Martha say, Master, if you have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. There was something she saw. There was something she saw. Philip and Nathanael told Jesus, Well, there's a little boy's lunch, 3 loaves and 5 loaves and 2 fish. What can you do with it? It also suggests possibility thinking. He has seen Jesus multiply things. Are you here? Vision of faith. What do you see? What do you see? What do you see? What can you see about your life this year? About your business? What can you see? He says, as far as your eyes can see, he has given unto you. What can you see? And don't assume you already see. No. 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 Don't assume. Don't assume. Even Abraham, do you know how long it took God to get him there? And God was patient. Painting different pictures. You do this one in chapter 13, chapter 15, chapter 17, you see circumcision. He was trying to paint pictures. In chapter 22, you see him taking his son to the mountain of Moriah and God throwing him a ram caught in a thicket, which is a type of Christ. So God kept preaching the gospel to him in different forms. In cameos. In stories, in similitudes. That was what God was doing. What I'm saying is, let God paint pictures through the gospel. So you stay with the gospel. Stay with the gospel. You've heard me say this again and again. Make the gospel the Lord of your ears. Don't let a day pass without having your gaze on the Lord through the gospel. Having your gaze, setting the Lord always before you. Always before you. Aligning your vision. We call it the vision of faith. Of mountain moving faith. It will change your life forever. Oh, glory to God. Or as a believer, a particular sin or habit has plagued you. Don't let Satan lie to you that is you. It's not you. By beholding, you can change the configuration of your soul until you are completely victorious over that habit. Are you with me? The vision of faith. Let your mind be full of God's vision. Let your mind be full of God's vision. And out of this vision, we cannot get the vision for the year. What's your vision for the year? What do you want to do? You see, let me teach you a very simple principle. How do you blow your vision? By seeing the kingdom of God. See God's purpose. See God's purpose. Your vision will be enlarged. I'm sure if you are thinking only about yourself, what you call vision will be small. By the time you start thinking about the gospel, let me give an example. You are thinking, what will it take to put up this kind of tent for church? It may cost you over 100 million. That's vision. And you're saying, Lord, at least I can pay for 50%. You see, you now have a cause. Are you with me? You met someone who could not pay his school fees, who was denied from writing exams. You get pained. And you're saying, what will it take to pay school fees for at least 200 students in University of Jos, in Plateau State Polytechnic? What will it take? Some of you have background that you have to struggle to make things happen. You see, a true champion is someone who will ensure people don't go to the things he went through. That's what forms a vision. Not these small, small things Christians are calling vision. Meaning, what are the things you want to do that is not about you, your wife, and your children this year? I'm saying, when it's not about you, your wife, and your children, your husband, you, yourself, you, your siblings, do you understand? You know, the customized things people do. And by that I include, I'm not talking about the plans you have for your children, I'll do this investment for them. No, it doesn't have to do with them. What is your vision for the gospel? What is your vision? You can say, how many, Pastor, what will it take to reach 100,000 young people every day for 6 months with this message to set them on fire? You see, it will begin to expand your vision. Glory to God. Or you say, this place, there's no borehole, no water. What will it take to put a borehole, serial borehole in this area? Honestly, I didn't know how important this was until I did borehole for my dad's village. When I traveled, that was 4 years ago, the head of the village came to see me. I was surprised. He said, you remembered us. Ah, you remembered us. You dug borehole for us. In my mind, I said, okay. But you see, that is vision. And why I say that is, you have no idea of the impact of what you call little steps to make life convenient for others. Are you with me? What's your vision for the gospel? What's your vision for the gospel? How many weeks for in the year, 52 weeks? You are saying, how much did pastor say tent cost? Okay, to even rent per week. 52 weeks is how much? He said, vision has come. That's okay, this is almost 30 million. So I can believe God for 20 million. There is perspective to faith. If faith is just about getting the things for yourself, faith will become occultic. Are you with me? How many children can I lift off the street? And listen, oh, once the vision burns in your heart, provision is coming. How many ladies can I lift out of prostitution? Are you with me? And how do I need to partner? Sometimes you may need to do a course, read a course, or take a training to help you live out your vision or play out the things you want to do. But see, that is still vision. Hallelujah. If you are blessed, shout I'm blessed. Oh, glory to God. Hebrews 11:15. So let your mind be inundated with the things I'm talking about. Let it be inundated. Listen, once your heart is full of it, oh mekopa, it becomes your reality. Once your mind is full of it, there will be manifestation. There are two things. Once your mind is filled with a vision of the gospel, faith becomes a natural reality, an unconscious reality. It becomes an unconscious reality. You know why many Christians die from incurable disease? Let me help you. Especially for those of you who are questioning God very well. Okay? With very few exceptions. The reason Christians die is they start building faith after the diagnosis has come. And like I told you, look at Abraham. Those spanning four chapters is years old until he finally got it. It took years. Somebody is unserious with the things of the spirit. He's unserious. Listen to message. He doesn't care. Sow your seed. He doesn't care. Do attend church regularly. He doesn't care. And bam, doctor say this is cancer. This one will take 1 year to live. And then the person is now calling for prayers. And the person died. They say God is not faithful. We are stupid. God is faithful. Are you with me? I'm not being rude. Sorry, I had to use that word. Are you with me? I mean, he had taken a lifetime, 40 years, building his faith in the systems of the world. Building unbelief. Building unbelief. Then he wants to use 9 months to build faith to remove cancer. Except he gets into a meeting where spiritual energy has been generated. This is why miracle services are important. This is why healing services are important. Because God knows that not everyone can release their faith for healing. At that time, some of them had fed their mind with all kinds of things over time. Are you with me? This thing is empirical. It can be experimented. You can measure it. Glory to God. So the guy has to prepare to die. In fact, the first thing is the response. Yes, sir. If you hear testimonies of people, I have people who have come out of cancer. It's not cancer has cure. I've been telling you. The gospel is a cure. It's the one cure. I have people that I know, it's not TV, who have come out of cancer. One of the things you notice is the response. And you see, that response comes from that building over time. So you see, the building every Sunday, every Tuesday is not a waste of time. Are you with me? Stay consistent. Because truly, consistency is the hiding place of greatness and success. It is. The first thing is the response. You know, a dear man of God was sharing a testimony with me. They said he had cancer. He was losing weight. Everything. Oh, this gospel. One day, that did not even know had a vision. And he saw in the vision, like a trance, he saw a beast come out of him. Come out of this man of God. And he called him. He said, this is what I just saw. But he said, one time when they were doing tests, he told them, he says, I'm not going to a hospital anymore. Forget about it. He tore the report. Say, forget about this. Forget about this nonsense. I zero in on God. And he's been free. It's almost 3 years now. Completely. Aye. Completely. Are you learning something? So I'm giving you materials for now and for later. Glory to God. Hebrews 11:15. Let me show you something significant. Then I share something briefly on the voice of faith. And we pray. And truly, if they have been mindful of that country from whence they came, they might have had opportunity to have returned. If your mind is full of it, opportunities will be created. If your mind is full of it. And this has to do with, what's your vision for the year? If your mind is full of it, opportunities will be created. If your mind is full of it. This is why the Bible instructs us to write it down. Don't say I have it in my mind. No, write your visions down. In this service, maybe when we begin to pray, you lift up your expectations. Okay? Write it down. And look at it again and again and again. If your mind is full of it, opportunities will be created. Opportunities. This is how it's designed. Opportunities will be created. Number two, the voice of faith. This is what faith says. And I break this into two. Number one is allowing, that's under the voice of faith. The first thing is allowing the vocabulary of faith dominate your daily conversations. Oh, faith has vocabulary. It does. They say vocabulary is a collection of words. Or words and phrases. A stock or a sum of words employed by a language, a group, or an individual. Are you here? It also means, I like this one. It means a supply of expressive techniques. That means faith has expressive techniques. Faith has choice of words. And that's the basic level of the voice of faith. Glory to God. Write this down. The voice of faith should proclaim victory, love, and positive mental attitude. Victory, love, positive mental attitude, and divinity. That's the voice of faith. That's the voice of faith. That means this year, no matter the pressure Satan put on your mouth, don't say things that are not consistent with the word. As simple as this sounds, it makes the difference between night and day. Life and death is in the Bible. It's life and death are in the custody of the tongue. Useless man, you can't take care of me. You have destroyed your marriage. Foolish boy, you are not even smart. If God does not help that boy, you give account in heaven. Amen. Your words. Your words. And that goes to salient things, phrases we use. There are things that contaminate our faith. In James chapter 3 verse 2, you can put it up. It talks about bridling the tongue. I'm afraid it's going to rain. Must you add fear? I beg, I don't want to be depressed. Are you susceptible to depression? Are you with me? I'm just feeling depressed. I am depressed. How did you get there? You have owned it. I am like identity. Amen. Let me tell you something. That's why I call it being consistent with the vocabulary of faith in your daily conversation. The choice of words. The expressive techniques. Yes. What it means is, even when what you're feeling or experiencing, you need to hear this, is not consistent with the word of God, you have a faith way of expressing it. I feel headaches, but I have my healing. Is a feeling, and the Bible has something to say that you don't live by your feeling. You didn't get that. Oh, glory to God. Money I have. You have a Kai. Ah, I don't die. This your joke is killing me. This your joke is killing me. Really? This your joke is killing me. I think James no go keep person. You see, they don't fall within the framework of faith. Are you with me? And when you say that over time, you confuse your spirit. You see, the wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but a breach therein, you see, perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. That means even when you joke, let the gospel be the Lord of your mouth. You can make jokes, but don't be negative. Are you with me? Oh, hallelujah. The voice of faith is positive. I was scared. I was so scared. Listen, you cannot produce spiritual excellence beyond the quality of your words. You can't. You can't. The anointing may even be on your life over time. It will show. And be deliberate. This is the voice of faith. It's a voice that projects victory, love. How many you speak, love should be inside. Don't be vicious. Don't be vicious. Let me wrap up so we pray. Don't be vicious. You are just a mean person. You are just a wicked person. You are just... No. And let me tell you, what you say about others is a revelation of your self-portrait. What you say to others is a revelation of your self-portrait. It's difficult for many to accept, but it's true. If you're always finding fault is a revelation of your self-portrait, chances are you have a level of esteem issue. Because see, once you are comfortable in Christ, you know what begins to happen? You begin to see the best in everyone. Once you have gained your sense of identity, your sense of worth, your sense of value, not from the things you have, not from the things you don't have, not from the things you wear, the things you ride, but from who you are in Christ Jesus. The moment that crystallizes in your heart, your view of others will change. No matter how bad a person is, you always see something good in that person. Because love is looking for the best. And listen, it's what you are looking for, you'll find. It's what you're looking for, you'll find. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. That's the first layer. Aligning with the vocabulary of faith. The second is prophecy. The voice of faith is a voice of prophecy. You know why I have to talk about this? God spoke to me early this year. He says, this year, prophesy more. Prophesy more. Give emphasis to prophesying. And when we say prophesy, let me explain. I'm not saying call phone numbers and do word of knowledge. No. Prophecy primarily means speaking the word of God with power. It means supernatural utterance in a known tongue. Are you with me? I would to God you heard what I just said. He says, prophesy more. That means this year we'll be prophesying. And when God said that to me, by extension, he's talking to you. That means this year, he said, give attention to prophecy. That was what God told me. He said, give more attention to prophecy. Prophesy more. Meaning speak my words with power more. Oh, glory to God. To prophesy means to speak the word of God with power. To speak words that are wrapped with omnipotence. To speak high energy word. Hallelujah. Somebody say, is it not when the Spirit of God comes upon me that I'll prophesy? No. You can stir yourself to prophesy. Oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. It's the revelatory side that depends on the Spirit. But the declarative side of prophecy, which is what he wants every believer to do. And listen, prophecy is faith proclamations. Are you with me? God gave me the instruction, and I have to tell you. He says, we'll see more this year as we give attention to prophesying. So you will pray in your room and begin to prophesy. You begin to prophesy. I'm a mountaintop dweller. Greater is he that is in me. You begin to prophesy. To your job, you prophesy. You will declare, I have promotions back to back to back to back. I'm a sign and a wonder in this ecosystem. In the name of Jesus, I have taken over this industry. Oh, the Lord has magnified me in the sight of the client. My clientele is multiplied. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's different from daily vocabulary. This is prophecy now. You are speaking under the anointing of God's Spirit. And one of the things to do is, what areas of your life do you want significant progress this year? Invest prophecy there. Ah. Oh, I wish this church is here. Invest prophecy there. You want your marriage to take a new turn? Invest prophecy. You want your finances to take a new turn? I have dominated mammon this year. In the name of Jesus, I wash my steps in butter. The rocks pour me forth rivers of oil. Wealth and riches are in my house. And my righteousness just forever. Favor is on the increase of my life. Prophesying. Prophesying. Prophesy, and you will speak. This sickness is not a part of my future. Oh, la kappa. This situation is not a part of my future. When I look into the year, I can't see it. In the name of the Lord Jesus, man de pura bakaka. Look into the future, I can't see it. Why are we bold to prophesy? Because we are standing by our sacrifice. Oh, you remember Balaam?
Balaam told Balak, he says, make me, build me 7 altars, get 7 oxen, get 7 rams, and make sacrifice upon them. Stand before your sacrifice so I can talk. That means what gives force to words are altars and sacrifices. Altars and sacrifices. First, your mind being on the sacrifice of Jesus. Two, the ones you generate on your altar of prayer and on your altar of sacrifice. Stand on them and speak. 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 It increases the energy. I wish somebody is speaking in tongues already. It increases the energy on the words. Speak in tongues where you are. Speak in tongues where you are.
Beloved, we know you've been blessed by God's word today. For more life-transforming messages like this, you can visit our website, library.gloryzoneglobal.org, and you can also follow us on our various social media platforms on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at Glory Zone Church. Stay blessed.